The following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
For a confirmation of righteousness. Talk about that. Which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. This was so that he would be the spiritual father, I add that in there, for the spiritual father, of all who believe without being circumcised. So that righteousness would be credited to men. Verse 12. Last verse that we'll talk about. And that he would be the spiritual father of those circumcised who are not only circumcised, but also walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had before he was circumcised. Alright. So, a lot of words circumcised and uncircumcised, and that's what Paul's going to talk about. Remember, this whole thing is pivotal to the whole gospel. He talks about, you know, faith alone, and receiving God's righteousness through faith alone, not of works. And we do that through faith alone of what Jesus Christ did for us. And so, this whole thing about Paul is focusing on the truth that God's righteousness is credited, that the accounting term, right, he used, credited to people by faith alone, apart from works. And he mentions it over and over and over again. I mean, and in many different ways he does that. And so, we got it in Romans 3:22. I'll read that. But first time we get this, we see this, we hear this, he does it over. And so the first time I want to show he does it over, we get this in Romans 3:22. And it says, this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those, that means Jew and Gentile, right? That's what all those mean. Yes, he was talking to the Jews who were not Christians. They were all gummed up in their old ways, just like we are. We can get gummed up. Who believe and trust in him and acknowledge him as God's son, there is no distinction. So that was the first time. Hey, he mentions this again. He goes at it again in Romans 3:28. He says, for we maintain that an individual is justified, which is the main right of God, justified by faith distinctly apart from works of the law. The law that we talk about is the observance of which has nothing to do with justification, that is being declared free of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. Those are two parts that Paul rolls out. You know, if you start rolling out the righteousness is apart from works. It's through faith alone. And then in Romans 6, he says it again, but in 7 and 8, he turns it on him and he actually introduces forgiveness. How the sin is not credited to our account, but we are now forgiven. So not only get righteousness, getting right with God and right standing with God through faith alone, not by works, but and that righteousness gets credited to us. But then he also said, there's something that doesn't get credited to us, which is by the grace of God, and that's the sin. Right? It doesn't get credited to us because Jesus Christ took our sin on himself and paid that price. So you got the two things going on, which is really cool, because he sets it up. It's not, and none of that is anything that we do, except by faith. And last week we even talked, and I'm going off the list, but I get so excited about the Word of God. Last week we talked about how it's really interesting to see that God's grace, you know, when we give gifts, we give it to somebody we like, right? But God gives us a gift for people who hated him, who just totally turns it around, right? It's absolutely amazing. And it is by grace. And so, of course, we have to accept that. Alright. So, hey, we get it again in the story of Abraham, when he uses Abraham in chapter 4, in verses 1 through 5. Can somebody read Romans 4, 5? Because that really is the great. Can somebody read that for me? Anybody?
But to him,
Romans 4:5.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justification, the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Yeah. So once again, he presents the whole thing about faith alone, but he really attacks the works. And the person who works is not, who's not the laborer, who's not trying to work, or trying to scheme, or trying to get work so we get owed something from God. Remember, Lamar, you weren't here, and this was sad, because we really did a great job of talking about, you know, when you work for something, you're owed something, right? You are. And so we're owed wages. Well, what in Scripture? We all know this. What in Scripture are our wages? The wages of what?
Sin.
Sin, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we're working hard at that, we get wages. And God says, okay, and here's what you get. You're sin, and so you get the wages of death. So that's kind of silly, trying to work for our justification, right standing of God, and what we get is death. It's silly. But people still do that. Even after they accept the Lord, people get sucked into this. I have to prove my love for God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's all we got to be covered. We've got to be covered by the blood of Jesus, who covers everything, who puts us in the right stand. Right? And then as we do things, we do it through Jesus, out of love. Which is when I were talking about this morning, you know, as I was attacking you. And of course, you needed it because you opened it up. You know, sorry for people on the tape. You know, we were attacking people, but we did it out of love. All right, and that's really what you need to do out of love, but not your love. It's the love of Christ through you. I can do all things through Christ, and normally that's out of love. And it's normally that's out of obedience. So Paul's going to talk later today. We're going to, you know, before we get done, we'll talk about doing obedience acts as a result of what God has done for me, done for you, Gary, done for all of us. Right? So it's really cool. So, again, he talks about that, but he talks about that faith alone as it applied to works, to laborers. And so, the next thing he said again, he gave us another example. I just want to keep showing you how Paul just, he gives us examples. Now, the reason he does this, we talked about that before, is that the Jews, the people that he was talking to, had some hang-ups. They had the law. They had their hereditary line. If they weren't in that line when Jesus came, then they're out of it. And they didn't believe Jesus came. So they were really focused on that genealogy. They were focused on the law that was real important to do everything. They were focused on all sorts of things, right? Just like we are today, we're focused on a lot of different things. And so he's kind of bringing these things up and showing the truth. Because the truth sets you free from all the other stuff. And a lot of it is all the stuff that you believe that are man-made stuff, right? And that's why we get all these denominations and slicing and dicing. I remember when I was in seminary, the last, we had all sorts of people. I went to an interdenominational seminary because at the time the Baptist ones were going a little liberal.
Yes,
and I just didn't want to be part of that. And so I remember the first night he held up this book that we were having. Since this is the book that we'll talk about denominations. It was a yay fit, you know? I mean, everybody has their own way, slice and dice and Vegematic. And he said, we're going to study the Word of God. We're not going to, and so if any time during this time that you're here, you start talking denominationally, we'll say, denomination, we'll put our hand up, our finger towards you, sit down, you guys sit down, be quiet, and you can only talk the Word of God, the very Word of God. And what that did was, it shut up our denomination stuff. And it also allowed the people from different denominations, but one body, come together as one body. And so it broke all that stuff down. So in love, we came together. Well, the way you come to Christ, even though we're many different types of people, blacks, whites, Jews, Gentiles, dogs, I love dogs, Gentile dogs, we all come together as one body. Right? Because the only way is that narrow gate, that narrow way, and it's through Jesus, who's the only person that could, could solve, God the Father could solve that issue, that we were all sinners, and none of us are righteous. And what's the deal? How can we solve this? Well, through the person of Jesus Christ. Alright, again, I go off the script a little bit, I just get excited, but once you notice this, it is exciting, isn't it? Once you notice it's really exciting. Alright, so Paul goes over and over again, and he says, alright, yeah, okay, Paul, we got it. We finally got it. Here we go. Let's go hear that sermon again. Barry said that. And you're right, Barry. But here in Romans 9, he goes back to Abraham as an example. Sorry, he's not done yet. Well, but he doesn't get done. In Romans, he continues to do this. He continues to roll out and unravel and give us more meat on the bone. It's like the Christmas tree of salvation and the gospel, and he just keeps adding these things on it. You know, it's really cool. Or you could say the cross, and he's adding all the stuff on it. All the stuff that we get, the work of the cross, right? The work of the new life, the resurrection, and the work of the authority that we have that we know a lot of times use, but we're at the right hand of the Father once he's all this stuff.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, I want to teach you more about where works come into play, because I know how you guys think, that's Paul saying. And so I'm going to teach you a little bit more about how works play into this, because if you put it in the wrong way, you've just really taken away the grace of God. You start working and you miss this out. So this is why Paul revisits the truth over and over again. And one of the reasons he does that is because, number one, it undercuts human boasting. Right? It undercuts boasting. The second reason that he does this over and over again, it preserves the blessedness of the imputed righteousness and forgiveness. Imputed is a fancy word of God's gift, God's grace that he gives to us, right? And through Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, through Jesus, be able to forgive sin. Imputed the sins on him were forgiven. So it preserves the blessedness, because if we work any other way, we don't get the blessing that God has actually done the amazing work for us. We don't get it. The other reason we'll talk about today, and these are only 4 points, and I'm building everything off these 4 points, not only does it undercut boasting, it preserves the blessedness, but it keeps clear the proper place of the works and acts of obedience. You know, there's a proper place for that. So it keeps it clear. We don't earn those things. We do that as a sign and a seal. We do that as because of everything God's done for us. Now, it's important that we do that under and through Jesus Christ. We start going off on our own and say, well, I can do all things through Christ, so I'm going to go kill everybody in the name of Christ. Well, that's stupid. So I use it really crazy. But there are people that do things in the name of Jesus, but it's not biblical. So they're not really doing it, right? So that's why it's important to do things through that, by seeing and joining the work of the Father, being called to that work. When you're aligned with Him, God will resource you. When you're not getting any resource or anything, might check to see if God's really in it, or are you in it? Are you trying to earn something, trying to look better, trying to look good in front of Him? And then the last thing we're going to do is open a way for all people to be the children of Abraham, right? The Gentiles. So what Paul does, as you know, is that he's going to show these Jews, hey, there's also a way for the Gentiles as well. You know, for God to love the Jews? No, it says God to love the world, right? For all. And so that's kind of cool. So that's where we're going today, right? We all like that. We all sound, oh, that's pretty cool stuff, so let's get into it. So I want you to look at the pride of boasting first. And this is so cool. I mean, I love this stuff. So let's look together in Romans 3:27-28. We're going to go back to that, but I think it's important because, you know, boasting's a big deal, especially in our time today. Even this weekend with all the political stuff, boasting's a big deal. And so in verse 3, he says this in 3:27. He says, where then is boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law it works? No, but by a law of faith. Verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified, again, put in right standing with God, is justified by faith apart from works. So in our world today, we're surrounded with boasting. So what are some of the examples of boasting in our world today?
Talking about just relative to Christ, just in general?
In general.
In general.
In general, because we are aliens, so we're in the world, but not of the world, but we got to deal with it. So let's don't strip ourselves away and be too Christian where we miss the opportunity to, you know, to witness in the world. So what's going on in the world today about boasting?
I think it's probably the most popular right now, President Trump. I mean, he's a great boaster.
Okay.
Well, he's done some very good things, but nonetheless,
he boasts, right?
Yeah, he's a very boastful
yeah.
guy.
What about cable news? Any boasting going on in cable news?
Oh, yeah.
724.
All right, well, let's bring it down to maybe a personal level. All right, because let's start up here. Let's start with, you know. What about Facebook? Any boasting you ever see on Facebook? A lot of it's boasting. Look where I'm at. Look what I'm doing. Wish you were here. Not really, but wish you, you know. Look what my kids are doing. Look at this. Look at that. A lot of it's boasting. I'm not saying it's wrong, but...
Certain kinds of phones.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're kind of helping out on that. I got a big update on my Google Android.
The first thing I saw whenever it came back online was a picture of me. It said, take a selfie.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was turn it off.
So not only politicians, but preachers sometimes get a little bravado about themselves. And I know when I hear or when I see somebody ask a preacher or anyone in a public, you know, whether it's a politician or whatever, a question they don't know, what do they do? Remember what they do when they don't know the answer to something? Or they don't want to be cornered? What do they do?
They kind of discount it and make it, you know, not important.
Will they answer that question or will they just do what? What will they do?
Make it.
Spin. Spin's boasting.
Okay.
Right? The spin room. Right? Every time they, you see the debates and things, they go to the spin room and everyone there is trying to tell you what really didn't happen, but it's not telling the truth. It's spinning the truth. And it's making, it's boasting about their person, even if their person so flat in the face, right? Truth doesn't boast. Truth sits alone. There's a story that I want to show you. All know that it's in Luke 18. And this is a great story about boasting, and Jesus just calls it what it is and puts it in the right place. So in Luke 18, and we'll start in 9, and I'll read it 9 through 14. It's a story that you know. It's a story of Jesus about him telling about a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And I'm here to tell you that those people who love to boast will never tell the story. Never tell the story. But we will, because we're searching the truth. Jesus is telling you a story. It says, the Pharisee prayed. This is Luke 18:9. The Pharisee prayed and looked down at the tax collector with disdain. But the tax collector stood at a distance, beat his chest with his fist, and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. To which Jesus responded, here it comes, it's the truth. I tell you, this man went to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone, here goes, that exalts himself, that boasting, will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. So Paul is in tune with Jesus when he talks about this. He says, I'm focusing on the truth of justification by faith apart from works. It undermines boasting, and it undermines my boasting, your boasting, everyone's boasting. And so we're here, we're put here to do what? The end of man is to do what?
Glorify
God. It's to make Allah, make much about God. It's not here to be made much about by God or by me. Right? And so, if you're trying to go after being made much by man or by God, by doing things for God, if I do this for God, God's going to do it. God doesn't need you to do anything for you. God's for us. We need everything. When we start doing things for God because we think that that will please Him, what pleases God? It's the F word. What is it? It's the different F word. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Right? That's it. God just wants us to believe, to trust, to believe in Him so much that we'll not only think different, but we'll act different. And yet, sometimes it takes us some time to think different. Right? And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us think and to read and to go after not only the worldly things, but go after the godly things. And that allows us to think and approach things differently. When we see things different, approach things different through the eyes of God's Word, right? And through the Holy Spirit, then we're actually believing. Now when we believe, we trust completely in that. And so when we believe, we're now able to step out into the waters. And then God will make it a dry land. But it's always important to believe because God tells us to step out first. In Scripture, right? Over and over again, they stepped out first and then God did. So anyways, pretty cool stuff. We must increase, he must decrease, John 3:30. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 1:31. I have more verses, but we need to move on. So the first reason John focuses on this justification by faith alone, apart from works, is because if he does that, it totally undermines boasting. Second reason he does that real quick is because in verse 6, in Romans 4, 6 through 8, we talk about being blessed. And being blessed is not just, what did we talk about last week about what blessed was? Do you remember? I don't remember either. Do you remember? Anybody?
Was Ken here?
Yeah, well, Ken brought up the...
Okay, then blessing is preparation for some service that God's calling you to.
Yeah.
That's what he's
studying. Yeah, so last week we saw in Romans 4, 6, David speaks about a blessing, right, on a man who God credits righteousness apart from works. Right? And the point of taking away your boasting is not to take away your joy. The point of taking away boasting is so you can receive the blessing that God has for you.
He gets the glory still.
He gets the glory. Right. It's if getting right with God, which is justification, right, were based on works, not on faith, then we wouldn't get a blessing. What if, again, we already talked about that. We would get the wages, and that's not a blessing, that's death. So God's doing that things for us. The blessing in Romans 4, 6 that God and his spokesman Paul want for us is a solid, unshakable basis for your acceptance with God, namely the righteousness of God in Christ, not your righteousness. It's not faith in God plus works, right? It's not anything that we add. It's only faith in God. And yet we try to do things. We try to wash ourselves. This is where I talked about before. So I immediately thought of the washing machine. I don't know why. This is how I think. You know? So when we wash clothes, we try to get them clean, right? And we've all sinned, so we try to get them clean. So when we wash, we're washed by the blood of Jesus. Right? It's the only thing. What can take your way of sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is like the OxyClean, right? It just really is, like the OxyClean. Nothing can do that. But a lot of times we try to wash away stuff. Right? We try to add stuff. I wrote down here, add things to get brighter, to smell. Right? I don't know if you do that, but we add things so our clothes smell nice. Because I smoke fine cigars every now and then, but it doesn't smell good on my clothes. They don't feel as fine on my clothes as they do when I'm smoking. Right? So I need to add things. Well, the only way to get to the blood is, the blood of Jesus is the only way to wash away our sin. And that's the blessedness. Right? That's that blessedness that he wants us to have that's a free gift. And if we just trust in something other than that, like works, we don't get it. And so Paul's trying to preserve us from that. He wants us to get the righteousness, and it's the only way it can be gotten is by faith apart from works. So, the third thing comes to the lesson today. So now we're already in the lesson today. Is that good?
That's good.
I don't know. I'm not about that. What's the time? What time do we have?
10:10.
Okay, so we're good. We're real good on time. So this is good. I hope you do just as well. All right. So here we go.
Don't even think about it.
Oh, man. Don't say it forever. All right, so here. So we got boasting is another reason that Paul goes over and over again. He wants us to see that it's, quit the boasting. It's not anything that you do, it's what God does. This is God's story, it's not about you. It's about him. The other thing is, he doesn't want us to miss the blessing. So the third thing that is, he says, hey, I got to make sure that we talk about circumcised and uncircumcised, because this is going to feed into works and obedience. Because you guys are going to get so hung up on this. Now today we don't get so hung up on circumcised or uncircumcised. But we get hung up on some of our own things. Our own things that we put man-made in. You and I talk a lot, and we talk a lot about the different Christian churches and things that they're doing. And they get hung up on things. They get hung up on, you don't need to bring your Bibles. You don't need to get, that's just a bunch of hoo-ha. And so if it isn't circumcised, it's something else.
Yeah.
It really is. But this was a big thing with the Jews, because they saw that being circumcised was an important thing. It was a sign of being right with God. It was a sign of that. So they were really hung up on this. So he's going to talk about that. So he started talking about that in 6 and 8. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or uncircumcised also? So in verse 9, he says, is this blessing then upon the circumcised or uncircumcised also? when we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. By the way, he gets that right from Genesis. Right?
Yeah.
So why is he asked that? So this morning I'm going to go, why is he asking that of these people? Why does he ask the question about is the blessing then upon circumcised or uncircumcised? Anybody remember? All right, let me help you out. It's early in the morning. So who's he talking to? Jews that are Christians, right? But they still have, they're still hung up on the law, right? They're working through the law. Let's go beat them up. We talked about that. We get hung up on our stuff too. It might not be the law, but sometimes we get hung up on the law that we make for ourselves, that we have to do things. And when we start doing that, we're starting to create a checklist. If I do this and do this and do this, then God's going to be happy with me. No, to please God, you have to have faith in the law. So we get hung up just as much. So let's don't beat up the Jews. So here we go. Yeah, the Jewish people, circumcision was one of the basic acts of obedience that defined them as Jews. Just did. It was a mark that they had a special covenant of acceptance with God. But Paul's question is, hey, did they get right? He goes right to the heart of the matter. I love this. Paul guy is pretty cool. I'm not sure if he'd be all socially acceptable.
Probably
not. But, you know. You know, I guess after you get hit by lightning, your hair gets spiked, and you might have been a punker. I don't know. But, you know, he definitely, you know, definitely saw the light. Hey, so he's asking this question, and he's saying, hey, did the work, you know, did they get right with God by getting circumcised? That's what he's asking. How'd it work for you, we would say today? How'd that work for you, getting circumcised? Did you get right with God by doing that? No. Did the work of circumcision, this act of obedience, put them in the right relationship with God? And we know by over and over again, you know, now that we got it, because it goes over and over again, and I need all that stuff because I don't get it the first time, the second time. I need about seven times, which is a perfect number. I need about that to get it. And so that's what Paul's doing this. No. How do you get right with God? How do you get justified by God? How do you get that? Through what?
Through Christ.
Through Christ. Through faith alone, right? Yeah. By faith, for by grace, oh, Ephesians 2:8-9, right? For by grace, we're saved through what works?
Faith.
That, oh, wait a minute, but I can do it. But not of ourselves,
yeah.
Right? It's a gift, nothing I can do. It's a gift that he gave to me, rotten sinner, right? Not of works, lest any man should, oh, boast. Everything that we talked about is in that verse. In Ephesians 2:8, it's all in there. That's like the crib notes.
Yeah.
What he's going through, right?
I like the way, too, that you said that when we do the works, it's not for our boasting, it's for God's glory.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that is the end of verse, that verse you're referring to, which says we are to do good works. I mean, a lot of folks just leave that part out.
Yeah.
And the works that they do turns out to be the works that they enjoy most because they do bring boasting.
Yeah.
Before everyone else. Did you hear what I did? Did you see what I did?
Yeah.
Do you know what I did? But they don't say it that way. They just bring it in.
Yeah. A lot of times when you're naturally gifted, I'm not saying that God doesn't use that. He does. But a lot of times when you're naturally gifted, it's easy for you to do things. But sometimes when I know it's easy, then I don't have a fear of failure. And so I jump right in. Now, a lot of times God will ask you something that, wait a minute, I can't do any of this. Well, you're right. I want to do it through you. But then that fear comes in. Now, God tells you, fear not, because I'm going to do it through you. But if we don't really allow God to do it through us, if we're still Christian, but we go, okay, all right, you're asking me to do this, I'm going to go do that for you. We put God, again, I always say we put God in a backpack, and we carry him along with us. And then when we actually need him, because we fall down multiple times, we need him, we'll take him out. But God says, I don't want you to put me in a backpack. I want to carry you and do it. You'll do some things. I'll have you do some things. But it's only going to be doing through me. You know, over and over again, the scriptures are written to show us how God works. My ways aren't your ways, so I'm going to tell you what my ways are. And then they don't change. Right?
That's glorious.
And so, when he sends the disciples out. And they come back, go, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do all this stuff. Right? Because you didn't have faith. Yeah, you got all excited and saw all this stuff. And yeah, you went to the seminar and you saw me and all that. But you can't, you got to do it through me. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I have to increase, you have to decrease. Everybody has to be downsized. But in our world, everything's about supersizing. Right?
The big gulp. Me.
The big gulp, the big hot dog, the big hamburger, the big everything. They even have TV shows on food, giant food items. I mean, it's just amazing, right? Well, Paul here, you know, so he's asking about the circumcision. Did you, hey, acts of obedience. He's asking, is this blessing that God, that we talked about in Romans 4, 6, 7, and 8. In 6, he talks about the blessing of having, getting to righteousness of God through faith alone. And in 7 and 8, he talks about getting this amazing blessing by not crediting your sin, but having it imputed on Jesus, right? The Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in Scripture, right? It's not getting credited those things that we should get, which is mercy. That's mercy. Not getting what we should get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And grace is getting what we don't deserve. So it's just those two things. Just I'm throwing at you real quick, but it's fun. Alright. So he answers the question. You know, were you circumcised? Were you not circumcised? Did you get everything through circumcision? He answers it. So in 9b, he talks about, again, he brings Abraham, Genesis 15:6, he brings that into him. He says, hey, we say faith was credited, right, to Abraham as righteousness. So step one, let's take Abraham again, guys. As an example, let's take him again because you know him, you love him. Right? Whoa. The father of all the Jewish people, his faith was credited as righteousness in Genesis 15:6. Let's see when it was credited because that's going to make the difference. If you're hung up on circumcision, let's see when this faith was credited. Was it credited when he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Right? And that's what he's going to bring up to him. Oh, this Paul, he's sharp. He probably would be a real good lawyer. Right? So in verse 10, how was his faith credited, it said? Had righteousness while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? There he goes. He asked the question to him. Now they're all ready. Right? Now they're all there. They're all eating corn. I don't know. Oh my gosh, we're now bundled up. I don't know. This goes right against what we believe. Okay? By the way, when we hear about Jesus, it goes against what we believe until we hear, until we see, until we trust him. So it's no different. And as we learn more, it goes against, as we think and as we have new knowledge and new thoughts, right? We change the way we believe. We tweak it, we tune it. And then we actually act different because of that. And when we act different, we get different results. If you want different results, you need to do something different. Maybe trust in God more, right? And when you do that, you believe different. Maybe believe in God more during the tough times, during the valley times. It's easy to believe in the mountain times than maybe the valley times. And to be able to believe him in the valley times, you need to think different. As a man thinketh, he is. There it is. Yeah. There it is. Look at this. The scripture stuff works. There it is. Man. Alright. So, not while circumcised, but uncircumcised. Where Abraham declared righteous by faith before Genesis 17, ladies and gentlemen, where the practice of circumcision was instituted. In verse 15:6, he believed he was credited righteousness faith alone before Genesis 17. By the way, that equaled 14 years before circumcision became part of a ritual. So he believed it before he was circumcised. By the way, he believed it before the law. The law only came 430 years later. So way before. So this is no brainer. This is easy. So that's what he's doing. So the conclusion is that the blessing of getting right with God and being accepted by God did not come by means of circumcision or any works or any gift of works or anything that isn't by the grace of God. So now Paul wants to take this truth of justification, faith apart from works, and he's going to reveal two things. We're going to do two things, and then we're going to be done. And that way you can get prepared for the sermon today. And maybe get out just a little bit earlier than you thought. Maybe 2 minutes earlier than you thought. Alright. So here we go. Faith alone apart from works. He's going to now put that very, you were talking about the works in the proper place. He's now going to roll that out for us. So let's look at it very quickly. Since we're on to this stuff. We're not going to. So in verse 11, he says, what is verse 11? Somebody read verse 11.
He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised.
Okay. Excellent job, by the way. Good job. You can read any time for us. Okay? All right. So take yourself out to lunch. There you go. So here we go.
May I ask a question?
May you ask a question?
Yeah. Does this mean that Abraham... when he says this to the Jews, then they realize that he's telling them, so you're no different from the Gentiles.
Yeah. Or,
at that time.
Yeah, the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never saw that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, they had disdain for the Gentiles. Why?
Yeah. Because they were. They weren't the chosen people.
They weren't the chosen people. They weren't the chosen frozen like the Baptists, right? They weren't those chosen, right? They weren't those chosen. And yet,
I heard that was the Presbyterian.
Oh, no. You can freeze anyone.
Okay. Yeah,
so there's churches and denominations that are frozen. They could be Baptist. They could actually be Methodist. Of course, once it gets cooler, the Methodists freeze because they're in the water. Right? And the Methodists are afraid of when they baptize, they sing the song Higher Ground. You know, right? So, yeah.
Oh, my.
But it's, all right, so for those Methodists out there, we love you. I have been one. All right. Here's the deal. So he talks about, and the key words here are the word sign and seal. Seal and remember that song. All right. Now, here's two words to describe a relationship between circumcision and righteousness. We know they come by faith, but they're sign and seal and delivered. That's a song. Remember that song? Sign, seal, delivered? Well, we got a sign and we got sealed, and that delivers you. So here's the deal. Sign is an indicator. Okay? When you see something, it's an indicator that when I see somebody changing, it's an indicator of what?
For the good?
Well,
in progress.
Well, they might change different. Yeah. It's an indicator that they're thinking different.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're thinking different and believing different, then they're going to act different and you're going to see it.
Right.
Now, I didn't take the Christian, that's just an overall, right? When you see somebody becoming more Christ-like, what does that mean? What is that an indicator of when you see a sign of that?
Their thinking's different,
right? And we know that for you to change, you can't. You're what? You're filthy rags, but you need somebody else living inside of you, changing you from the inside out, right? And so when you start to see that, they're thinking different, they're believing different, they have faith, and God's showing up because He's. The Holy Spirit is working a good work through him, right? Mm-hmm. Or her. And so that's an indicator, right? So a circumcision, when they're thinking about I'm going to do that, that's an indicator. Being baptized, right? Doesn't save you, but it's an indicator. It's a sign, mm-hmm. Right? Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. It's a beautiful sign of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Right? And it's a sign that, hey, I'm now buried. I'm going to allow all that stuff to be crucified daily. And I'm, because Jesus was raised to walk in newness of life and hope, that gives me hope, that gives me a whole new life, I too can be raised to walk in newness of life. And even though that I still sin because I still have that nature, I'm now going to feed Jesus more, I'm going to feed myself. Right? Because who you feed is what wins, right?
That's right.
And so a sign is an indicator. And a seal is an authenticator. Alright? Sign indicates it, but when you're sealed, you're actually doing it, and it authenticates it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest way I know how to say it.
versus getting all technical. And when we get all technical, nobody learns and except the person that's trying to fuck himself up. So let's don't do that, right? So to bring about obedience of faith, right, we've all received grace, right, to bring about obedience of faith. So our obedience, so this is what it comes in. Our obedience is a sign, and then when we're obedient to trust Him and to believe in Him, and now that's a sign, and we start doing things because of His love, because we're doing it through Him, that's a sign of obedience. We're now obedient. We're going to do what He says, I would like for you to do. I'm calling you to do. I'm asking you to do this. This is the right thing to do. You're taking the very Word of God, and now you're applying it to your life. That's a sign that you're doing it. And when you actually do that, that's a seal. It's an authentication that you are doing it through the love of Jesus. You are doing it to authenticate that now you are Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you want is just saying, I'm going to glorify God. I'm not doing it for me. I'm glorifying God. See how that fits? And so it's really cool. All right. So again, I wrote down here, belief leads to acts, which leads to results. Again, we're not trying to do acts by proving something. We're not trying to do acts because we have guilt. We're doing acts because of what Jesus did for us. And because of that, we love Him. And because we love Him, we want to become more like Him. And to become more like Him, we have to have Him help us and have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Well, not only trust Him by faith alone and be right standing, but then we become more like Him. That's the sanctification process, right? We'll become more like them, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we armor up, and we go to battle every day, and we're obedient. Now those acts are obedient acts, and they're out of love, and they're right standing, and I'm allowing Him to do it through it. Cool, I'm going to get His results. And those acts of obedience are a sign and a seal that your faith is real and that Christ is your perfect righteousness. I wrote that down. That was... All right, last point, you ready? You with me? Time check. I can't see the time. I'm
10:30.
10:30? Oh, it's time to leave.
No.
You're fine.
Well, it's 10:30.
I'll just take it on the back side.
No.
All right. You're fine.
Summarize.
I don't have the fourth one written down. Come on.
So in verse 11 it says, receive the sign of circumcision and the seal of righteousness of faith, which has while uncircumcised, you might be the father who believes, being circumcised in Christ. All right. So this whole thing is about, hey, now we're grafting in those Gentiles, right? We're grafting them in. Abraham obtained his covenant relationship with God, not by means of circumcision or any Jewish ritual, but by faith. Faith alone that he had before he was circumcised. So like he said, conclude. So I'm now concluding. All right. So, hey, watch this. So let's sum this up. You ready for this? So Paul focuses our attention on justification by faith alone, apart from works, for four reasons. And he does this over and over again. So here's the four reasons. Number one, it undermines boasting. Boasting has no play in faith alone. So it undermines our boasting, everyone else's boasting. We are to glorify God, not ourselves. We are not to glorify anybody else on the earth but glorify God. Second, it preserves the blessing of the forgiven sins and the imputed righteousness. We are blessed by the grace of God. We need to accept that and preserve that. If we did it ourselves, we'll get the wages of sin, we can't get that. We need the imputed righteousness. We need the forgiveness of sin. Third, because it puts obedience and works in their proper place after justification. And those abuse works are just seals and signs. Signs and wonders. Yeah, seals and signs. And fourth, Paul is passionate about reaching every people group. We didn't get into that, but he now starts unraveling that. That it's from the circumcised and circumcised, it doesn't matter. Every people group has their, you know, they can be a child of Abraham, the heirs of the promise of faith in Jesus Christ alone. Apart from Jewish ritual or American culture.
Definitely.
All right, that is it. I'm not going to ask any questions. If you have questions, we'll ask during this because we talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right afterwards, nobody wants to ask the questions. They want to get on to the next thing. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for everyone who is listening to this.
Amen.